ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 28-31। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल एज द किलिंग ऑफ धेनुका द एस डिमन। बल प्रविश्य बाहुभ्या तालान संपरिकंपया फलानि पातयामास मतन गज इवांजसा। ट्रांसलेशन। लॉर्ड बलराम एंटर्ड द ताल forest first. Then with his two arms he began forcefully shaking the trees with the power of a maddened elephant, causing the tala fruits to fall to the ground. We'll take 2-3 more verse till we have the purport. Hearing the sound of the falling fruits, the ass demon Dhenuka ran forward to attack, making the earth and trees tremble. The powerful demon rushed up to Lord Baladev and sharply struck the Lord's chest with the hooves of his hind legs. Then Dhenuka began to run about, braying loudly. Text 31, translation purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Moving again toward Lord Balaram, O King, the furious ass situated himself with his back toward the Lord. Then screaming in rage, the demon hurled his two hind legs at him. Purport. The word upakroshta indicates an ass and also one who is crying out nearby. Thus it is indicated herein that the powerful Dhenuka made horrible angry sounds. Right. Prabhupada tells a story that one time all the animals had a conference, and in that conference they were discussing how to be freed from the clutches of human beings because men are controlling us. And eventually in the discussion they realized that we cannot. Even the big elephant is not freed from the clutches of human being. And this conference was arranged by ash, therefore they suspended it. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, I'll just read what he says. Learning lessons from this beautiful Vrindavan pastime, that we see Krishna Lila, the scriptural stories from the Puranas, that just not meant for entertainment. If that is the principle, only entertainment, and if it does not change our life, then it is no beneficial. Whether we hear mundane stories or mundane stories flavored with so-called Puranic stories, there has to be lesson learned and it has to bring change within our consciousness. Therefore, the Puranas, when they depict stories, Bhagavatam especially, when it narrates stories, It has the affection of a mother. But the lesson is there. There is a deep lesson from the Vedantic concept. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the most favorite pastimes of devotees, especially children, how Krishna and Krishna's brother Balaramji killed host of this as demons. And the way they performed this pastime also. Now they were going frolicking into the forest, deep forest of Vrindavan, away from their parents. In fact, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this pastimes of Krishna killing Dhenuka is the beginning of Krishna's time, where Krishna and Krishna's friends would go into the deep forest of Vrindavan, which would increase the separation of the gopis from Krishna, because before Krishna would be not so far away from Vrindavan. So therefore, gopis had the chance to see Krishna even during the daytime. But this pastime of Krishna is the beginning that Krishna is going far away from Vrindavan. That means he would not come back till evening. So separation was more intense in this pastime. But that is enhancing the adventurous mentality of children's of Krishna's friends. And therefore Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura explains that Krishna's friends provoked Krishna. Provoking is a natural tendency, not only in the children, amongst other human beings also. Now, when somebody has the power but has been warned not to do it, and if you provoke, usually people are provoked. We get provoked if somebody comes and challenges. So Krishna's friends were trying to provoke Krishna so that Krishna would enter into the Talwan forest, which was not, they were warned by the Vrijabhasi that you should not enter into this forest. It's quite common that if you are told not to go into this room and the room is not locked, you know, it is but natural that at one point of time one will enter into the room. If you are given a box and you are supposed to carry it, and you are told not to open the box, at one point of time, most probably, because of our tendency, the human being has the curiosity, jigyasa. You know, and the jigyasa, when it is not doubted in Brahma jigyasa, then you are given a box also, don't open it. It is but natural that we will open it. And we will say we didn't open it. Because once we make a mistake, then we keep on building more, you know, we try to make more mistakes. So of course, this is on the transcendental platform, because material world is there. But because material world is in connection with Krishna, the duality of the material world for Krishna enhances his pleasure pastimes. And the rasa is enhanced, you know. And for one who is not connected to Krishna, and if Krishna is not involved, the duality increases the ghastliness, which creates more and more trouble. So one, when we see Krishna also enacting the similar way as the human being, but the difference is, when Krishna behaves the way the human beings behave, he has the power to spiritualize everything. So this variety of activities, the dual activities of the Lord, it simply increases the flavor in Krishna Lila. So when Krishna's friend, when they provoked Krishna where he was not supposed to enter, so in the very place they decided to enter into, the Talavan forest. So when they entered into the Talavan forest, naturally when they saw the fruits, when you see the fruits and nobody is there, what do? If you have the power to shake the tree like Balram, you shake. Otherwise, you take a stone and you pelt it. So Balramji is very powerful. He didn't have to take any permission, because fruits, flowers, vegetable, plenty, and in the forest, not in the mall, what does it indicate? You have the right to take it. You don't have to ask anybody. You don't have to pay to anyone. This is the natural tendency. And that is how the life was. So there was no wrong on the part of Balramji and Krishna and his friends to shake the tree and bring the fruits down. But because this tree was controlled by Dhenukasur, and that's what I'm going to read, what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains about the mentality of the ass. So when he saw, he should have been appreciative that free exhibition of power, if somebody exhibits power, you know, in the streets, in our childhood days, we would see these snake charmers, and then, you know, free circus, within 5 minutes, you know, they would, one man and his daughter, another small child, they would take a round ring, and they would stand in a circle, and they would play their drum, and instantly hundreds of people would come together. Why? Because they are going to do something which I can't do. And that brings appreciation. And they don't ask any ticket. After the exhibition is done, those who want to give money, they would give money. So here Krishna and Krishna's friends are showing some powerful act. Lord Balramji is exhibiting his power. Can you imagine how fortunate Dhanukasura was to see Balramji exhibit his power in millions of devotees are contemplating, meditating, reading these pastimes again and again, hoping to see. Recently, one practicing devotee, he wrote a letter to our website asking senior devotees. He said, is there any chance that I would ever get to see Krishna face to face? This question is there. When will that conviction come? Only when I get to see Krishna, then the conviction will be there. When will I see Krishna face to face? We know, we read Shastra, we hear from devotees, we go to holy places. Today, almost 6 crore people are going to take dip in the Triveni Sangam, fortunate souls. They want to take dip there. 6 crore people to experience the God realization instantly. So this question is always asked by people, can I see God? Is it possible? So here Dhanukasura was very fortunate. He was there during Krishna's pastime. Not only was there during Krishna's pastime, because Krishna came to his forest without being invited also. Krishna is coming without being invited, like in the Bhagavatam 7th canto. Prabhupada explains that Hiranyakashipu created such a big empire, very beautiful part. He had a huge throne also, where he would sit and he would perform his ghastly activities. Prabhupada explained that he would drink, you know, hard liquor. Not only liquor, he would drink human blood also. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, you know, these demons, they were very strong. They would drink human blood also. And sitting on the throne of the king, Hiranyakashipu do it right in the palace. There has to be some etiquette in the palace. But Hiranyakashipu was sitting on the palace throne and he would drink blood and hard liquor. And such throne is not befitting to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada quotes Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You know, if it is contaminated by this kind of activities, you don't want to sit on it. You don't want to wear somebody else's shoes, which is dirty, unclean. Mere fact it is somebody else's, you know, it is allergic. It's only happens in the hostel. Students wear anybody's things, you know. Therefore, Prabhupada explains in the 11th canto, the student quarters in Kali Yuga are the most dirty. Right. So there has to be some subtle discrimination between good and bad, clean and dirty. But Lord Vishnu, Lord Narasingha, went and sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu. Was Lord Narasingha was, you know, gross in his discrimination of this is dirty, this is not good for me to sit? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, very, very profound and very sweet. He says that Hiranyakashipu had forgotten that he is the eternal servant of Vishnu. But Vishnu did not forget Hiranyakashipu as his eternal servant. So therefore, just to give him the facility of rendering service to Lord Vishnu, Lord Vishnu went and sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, which he had arranged. He made that throne with great difficulty. So Lord Vishnu wanted to give that credit to Hiranyakashipu. You rendered some service to me. So giving up this discrimination of the Lord is the beauty of his compassion. So similarly, Lord Krishna came to Talavan forest. Not only himself alone, he brought Balram. Not only Balram, the entire host of cowherd friends. Not only cowherd friends, all the cows, 900,000 cows also with calf, they all coming into the Talavan forest. And how much Dhanukasura had the opportunity to render service to Krishna, he had to do nothing. Because he didn't have to worry, okay, let me get water for them, in a golden glass or get me a nice plate to offer them fruits. They were not expecting that. They would manage on their own. You have to just sit there and watch. But Dhenukasur, he was not able to do that. Rather than offering this facility to Lord Krishna and his friends, Dhenukasur did otherwise. He came braying so hard, so loud, angry, running around everywhere. Just imagine what a horrible sight there. When Krishna and Balarama are there, so gracefully, so skillfully, every act of Krishna, Bhagavatam explains, our acharyas explain, Krishna's killing, Krishna's speaking, you know, Krishna's moving about, Krishna's, you know, moving his eyebrows, whatever Krishna does, it's all done skillfully. All the subtle arts are involved. Therefore, Brahma Samhita explains that every walk in Vrindavan is a dance. No, every word is a song. What a beautiful description. So, that is how Krishna performs his pastime. And when he is there, one should be stunned by Krishna's activities. One should be speechless. In fact, Bhagavatam explains, when Krishna plays upon his flute, all that is moving becomes non-moving. And all that is non-moving becomes moving. The mountains which are stavar, they start melting. And Jamuna River, when they hear Krishna playing his flute, Jamuna is moving. She stops moving. She stops. She is fearful. If I move ahead, what will happen? I will miss Krishna's flute. Now this is the description. And Dhenukasur had the opportunity. But rather than being stunned by Krishna's movement, Balaramji's movement, you know, this Dhenukasur started moving more in a gross way, in a horrible way, screaming loudly. And he came and he kicked Lord Balaramji, not like Bhrugu Muni, but like an ass only. And again, twice he did this to Lord Balaramji. So therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, he says, what lesson do we learn from this story of Dhenukasur? He says, the subtle discrimination is extremely important for Vaishnavas. Those invent social distinction and preach unbreakable principles of Vaishnavism while breaking them to suit their own needs are said to be possess gross discrimination like Dhenukasur. That Vaishnavism basically dealing with essence. And therefore Prabhupada explains that Dhenukasur represents Bharagrahi, you know, Bharavahi. Bharavahi means what? That he is a burden of beast. He is carrying so much of burden, but what is the point of that burden? If the burden which is carried by the ass and it has no utility for his own self, then it is no good. Therefore, one who only reads scriptures, reads more and more scriptures, but is not able to understand the essence of the scripture, then he is no better than a burden of beast. Because he is carrying a burden. Therefore, Mahabharata explains, very beautiful. Mahabharata explains that one who has lot of knowledge, he is carrying so much of knowledge, he is nothing but a pillar in the library. No? To make a library, you need a foundational pillar. Now, who is carrying more books, more than a pillar? But the pillar, when it carries a lot of load, you don't experience any change in the pillar. Pillar continues to remain as a pillar only. So somebody is carrying burden in his brain, so much of information, he is none other than simply intellectual hamal. No? Intellectual hamal means what? There is so much of burden. But there is no essence. Therefore, by describing Shukadev Parikshit Maharaj, that when Parikshit Maharaj came looking, you know, when he came to, when he was moving about to see his kingdom, it is not that he was envious of Kali. He was not envious. Therefore, it is explained by Shuta Goswami that he was Saranga eva Sarabhuk. And if this principle is not learned by the grace of devotees, if you do not learn the art of becoming Saranga, Saranga means learning to grasp the essence, then we simply become like an ass only, like Dhenukasur. We may not understand. We may try to create artificial oneness. Everything is one. There is no discrimination. That is also not right. Discrimination has to be there, but not the gross discrimination, subtle discrimination. Like I remember first time when we went to Kumbh Mela in 1995, you know, Radhanand Maharaj was giving a lecture. A small group of devotees were there, and he told a story. He said that one time Mother Parvati was shocked. She said, how is that millions of people are taking bath? That means everybody is purified, everybody is getting liberation, mukti, moksha. I can't understand. You know, so easy that you perform all kinds of sinful activities, and then you just suddenly come to Holy Land of Prayag and you take bath and you come out, and doesn't take much time to take bath, and don't want to take bath for a long time also because it's very cold. You know, you have to see how people are taking bath so fast. No, and people come out because it's extremely cold. You have to walk almost like a half a kilometer to come to the Sangam. And then you go into the water. And then you take bath as fast as possible. Three dips and you come out. When you come out, you are freed from sinful activities. So Parvati was also having this question. So she asked Lord Shiva, how is it possible that one is purified? So Lord Shiva said, no, only those who have taken bath, they are purified. Parvati said, I am seeing millions of people are taking bath. He said, no, I am saying only those who have taken bath. She said, don't confuse me. No, tell me very clearly, what do you mean by taking bath? I see everybody is taking bath. So Lord Shiva said, okay, I'll show you who has taken bath. Because Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma, because they are real teachers, they don't teach through words. They teach through demonstration. The Vedic philosophy is, it is three way, you know, knowledge based, interactive based and experiential based. So Lord Shiva said, now you disguise yourself as my wife. She said, I'm already your wife. Said, no, now you disguise, I'm going to change my form. So Lord Shiva become a leper, one who had a leprosy. And Mother Parvati was his wife. And she brought her husband and he told her, you have to tell people that those who have taken bath in the river, in Sangam, and those who are convinced that you'll be liberated, if they come and hug my husband, he'll be freed from leprosy. So they were sitting right on the bank of Triveni Sangam. And then people are coming. Hundreds and thousands of people are coming out of Triveni Sangam. And she's telling everybody, please, please, hold on. You have taken bath. Please come and embrace my husband. He's suffering from leprosy. And if you embrace him, he'll be freed from his leprosy because you all are liberated now. And lo and behold, what happened? Nobody came close to Lord Shiva because they were not very convinced whether we were liberated or not. You know, they came with the intention, ho sakta hai liberation. They were not coming, hua hai liberation. You know, that conviction was not there. And therefore Lord Shiva said, bathing means what? Having that conviction that I have been freed from all sinful activities, no more sin. Nobody could do it. Hundreds and thousands of people. So one young child, an innocent boy, he had heard from his mother you know, different kind of stories. If you take bath, you'll be liberated. No, he came forced by his parents. And he had the conviction when he took a bath, he experienced liberation not because the water changed him. Like one poet, one South Indian Vaishnava says, he says, simply by taking bath in Ganga, if you think you are liberated, that means there are so many rocks, they should be liberated. There are so many tortoises, there are so many fish, hundreds and millions of aquatics are there, they should be liberated. Why not they are liberated? In fact, Prabhupada explains in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam during the story of Nalakwar and Manigriva, he says, taking bath in Ganga, the way Nalakwar and Manigriva were doing, they were taking bath in Mandakini Ganga, in fact, much higher than the, you know, the earthly Ganga, but Ganga did not purify them. Ganga has the power to purify, but their intention was not there to be purified by Mother Ganga. So therefore, Prabhupada explained very nicely. He says, it is based upon our intention. The what is material and what is spiritual, it is not based upon the material object, but it is based upon the intention of the person who is taking bath. What does it mean? That means we should not take bath in Ganga? No, we should take bath. Because the process of Krishna consciousness involves going to the holy place and having that conviction, this is Mother Ganga. And by taking bath in her water, I'll certainly be purified. Like in one morning walk, I remember reading this. And one devotee was asking about what is Mother Ganga. And he was thinking we should get water from Holy Ganga to bathe some deities in America. Prabhupada said, what is Holy Ganga? He said, what is Ganga? Where does Ganga come from? He said, Ganga means when you bathe Krishna, like Ganga comes from the feet of the Lord. He said, when you bathe the deities, he said, that is Ganga water. Whether you bathe in London, you bathe in New York, you bathe in Detroit. He said, when you bathe the Lord, he said, that very water is Ganga. And I know one devotee, after bathing his deities, Shaligram Shila, he pours all his water on his head. You know, thinking that I'm taking bath of Ganga, Jamuna and all rivers, all the holy rivers. So this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is talking about. That learning the art of picking up the essence from the scripture. And Radhananda Maharaj always says that a devotee, all of us, we are trying to be devotees. We are trying to be practicing Krishna consciousness. And a practicing devotee, unfortunately, most of the time fails to learn the principle of picking up the essence. He is caught up by the externals and he takes extreme stands. And because of taking extreme stands, what does it do? It creates a discrimination. It creates conflict. And because of such conflict, he dwells upon those activities which are very external and which will not benefit our Krishna consciousness. Very external things. And that is the age of Kali. First of all, this is the age of Kali. And secondly, we think we are devotees. And because we have too many books to read, which we don't read mostly, and whatever we read, you know, contextual and textual. Like I read one verse quoted by Prabodhananda Saraswati, and one person quotes this verse. And this verse says that a Brahmana is the guru of all other Varna, and Sannyasi is the guru of the Brahmanas. And amongst all the Sannyasis, the Paramhamsa is the guru of all the Sannyasis. And of all the Paramhamsa, the Brajabasi is the guru. Now this is one verse quoted by Prabodhananda Saraswati in his Vrindavan Mahimamrit to glorify a Brajabasi. But then we have to define what is Brajabasi. Just because somebody stays in Vrindavan, you know, for some years, you know, those who came to do business also, they don't become Brijbasi. What is Brijbasi? That is explained by Advaita Acharya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahaprabhu explains this. He says, Brijabasi means wherein Krishna is residing in his heart, wherever you take him. That is Brijabasi. So he has the power to experience Krishna wherever he goes, whether he is in Vrindavan or is not in Vrindavan, because he has lost his heart in Vrindavan. His mind and Vrindavan, there is no difference. And therefore, when Prabhupada was going out of Vrindavan, externally he was living Vrindavan, but he was not living Vrindavan. He was carrying Vrindavan with him. So wherever he went, so that conviction, therefore, when he was in New York, and then devotees were afraid that he might leave his body in New York City, he said, doesn't matter. Prabhupada took it very lightly. He said, doesn't matter whether I live my body in Vrindavan or New York, because I am doing the work of Vrindavan. Because I am doing work of Vrindavan, even if I leave my body in New York, dying in New York for a Vaishnava like Prabhupada, from an external point of view, is not very glorious from our perspective. But from his own perspective, he said, doesn't matter. He took it so lightly. He said, if I leave my body in New York, that too in Manhattan, you know, New York is the capital of Kali Yuga, and in New York, Manhattan is worst. And they had this temple in 55th Frederick Street, 11-story building. He said, since there is no place in New York to make a samadhi, he said, you make my samadhi in the top floor, in the terrace of the building. Why? Because for a devotee like Prabhupada, you know, or similar great acharyas, they are not worried about, you know, mechanically becoming conscious of Krishna, mechanically trying to be in Vrindavan. Tamal Krishna Maharaj would always tell this story. This is what we are talking about, you know, making subtle discrimination. He said there was a big shade, you know, he retired from his business and he came to Vrindavan with a bead bag. Rest everything for his children. Yes, he should be giving to his family members, no doubt. But all the property for his family member. But he came to Vrindavan, you know, not to serve Vrindavan, but he wanted to have a business bargain. That I'm going to quit my body in Vrindavan, so therefore I can go back to Godhead. This very tendency itself is not Vaishnavism. The very tendency that I will escape from this world, escape my karma, and therefore I am coming to Vrindavan. It's very mechanistic in its approach. And it is not pleasing to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, we cannot stomp into the spiritual world just by a mechanistic process. There has to be a substance in it. So he came to Vrindavan, he stayed in Vrindavan, and there was some business mishap. He decided to go back to Delhi and he died there. Krishna is also, you know, he tricks people. You know, if you try to trick him, he also tricks. Therefore, we see that all the great acharyas, what emphasis they give on is the emphasis of practicing essence of Krishna consciousness. And to learn the essence of Krishna consciousness, it is not that we have to escape. As His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj was speaking last week about the pastime of the Brahman Patnis. It's a beautiful pastime. And if you study that pastime very carefully, Krishna, you know, what kind of sharanagati these ladies exhibited? They knew that going away from their husbands 5,000 years ago, don't see from present perspective, 5,000 years ago, somebody thinking of living, when we read now, अरे तो चलता रहता है, everybody does it regularly. But 5,000 years ago, anyone, what to speak of women also, even a grown-up son would not leave his family. He had to take permission from his parents. Like somebody was telling that his mother, a grown-up elderly mother, 70-year-old mother, did not allow her son, who is almost like 45 years old, to go to Kumbh Mela. Somebody was saying, hey, what is this? This is unfair. That a 75-year-old mother is still controlling her 50 or 45-year-old son from going to Kumbh Mela, saying it's too crowded. This is height of, you know, controlling mentality. I was saying, why we see like that? We can also see that this person is respecting the culture of following his mother. He doesn't want to go unless blessed by his mother, and is willing to stay back even though, you know, he has the desire to go. So 5,000 years ago, and these Brahmin patnis were not rebel. You know, they were not always having a fight with their husband. Nowhere in the Bhagavata it is mentioned like that. They were looking for an opportunity, you know, to make it Krishna conscious. They're not doing like that. It was very spontaneous. They had heard about Krishna, the attraction was there, and very nicely serving their husband. And when this attraction had the power to be fulfilled through the friends of Krishna, when they came and told this lady, Krishna is there along with his friends and he's hungry. Can you imagine? They did not plan. They did not plan how to trick our parents, how to trick our husbands, what lie we should tell them when we come back. They did not scheme. It was just like it is explained when death call comes. When death call comes, you don't plan. You just respond without being conscious of it. When death call comes, we just live. We have to live everything. Whether I'm holding few crore rupees, whether I'm getting few crore rupees next day, or I'm waiting for some, you know, special function in my family or in the temple, waiting for this or waiting for that. You can't say that I'm going to wait for some more time. When the death call comes, you just drop. You die. You may pray within your mind, "Arey, I want to wait some more time." Prabhupada tells the story, one businessman from Allahabad. He told the doctor, 4 more years, please give me chance, because I need to open 2 more units. Can you imagine? He's an engineer, and he's talking so illogically to the doctor. Said, give me 4 more years because I need to open 4 more industries. He said, no. Prabhupada says, no, you can't. When death call comes, you have to move. So similarly, this Brahmin patnis, they moved as if they were called by time factor. But this time factor was very beautiful. Krishna. And they were running, and their husbands were trying to stop them. And they were not being disrespectful to their husbands, but they were forced by this power of Krishna. Karshatiti Krishna. Karshatiti Krishna means one who pulls people. And they ran, not being conscious what will happen. And when they came to Krishna, and what did Krishna tell them? No, Krishna should have appreciated. Very good, you have given up everything. I like such people to join me. No? Krishna didn't tell them. He said, go back. Can you imagine Krishna telling them? He said, you go back. And the girl one who acted in that drama, she said, when I was giving that dialogue, you know, to all the Brahmin patnis, he said, I was feeling to cry. You know, they have come here and Krishna is sending them back. You know, this girl who was acting as Krishna, she was feeling so sad that I have to send them back. Can you imagine what Krishna must be feeling? But still he had to tell them to do what was right thing for them to do. They attracted Krishna's heart. Krishna was attracted by them. No, they conquered Krishna. But still Krishna sent them back. Go. You have to go and take care of your husband. Perform your duties. You cannot achieve me by coming simply through a physical proximity. This is not only told by Guru, it is told by the Supreme Guru, Jagat Guru Krishna. He says, you cannot become my devotees, you cannot come close to me simply by physical proximity. So achieving Krishna doesn't mean that we want to see Krishna face to face. We want to be in his place. It is not a geographical place. Golok Vrindavan. Ye hai Pakistan aur idhar hai Golok. No? It is not like that. You can experience Golok in Pakistan also. And you can experience Pakistan even in Vrindavan also. Right. So Krishna sent them back. He said, you go. How do you achieve my perfection? He said, you achieve my perfection by hearing about me, associating with devotees. And he sent them back. So very interesting. So therefore, subtle discrimination means that the tendency of a conditioned soul is exactly like Arjun only in the Gita. What is it? Arjun was trying to take a higher level of consciousness to avoid a lower level of responsibility. It's a profound for Arjuna to do that, to give up all attachment to this material world in the form of the kingdom. In the name of renouncing it, Krishna should have appreciated that. He said, great Arjun, fantastic. This is what I expect from you. That even though the other party is bent upon conquering, killing, looting, ambitious, you know, they are treacherous, and you are willing to transcend this. You want to transcend this level. I fully support. You go to the forest, sit and chant 300,000 names of my holy name, because that is the highest. Krishna should have appreciated, but Krishna did not do that. Because yoga doesn't mean to escape. Yoga means to harmonize, you know, beautifully our responsibility of this world while looking for the spiritual world. Krishna told you have to fight this war. It is not that Krishna was whimsical here. It is that because you have to fulfill my will, therefore you have to fight. No, Lord is not whimsical. One should not depict the Supreme Personality of Godhead being a whimsical personality, that you do what I want you to do. No, Lord is not like that. Prabhupada explains in the third chapter of Gita that the Lord is always following the scripture when he comes to this material world. He submits to the scripture. The scriptures are coming from his very mouth. In fact, all the essence of the Shastra is to know Krishna only. And that very Krishna is telling Arjuna, no, you have to follow the scripture. Otherwise, that will create chaos in this material world. So Krishna sent him back. Therefore, in the Mahabharata, you know, there is a very interesting concept. When Vidur came to Yudhishthira Maharaj to say that, you know, your uncle has called you to play a gambling match. And Yudhishthira knew the power of gambling match, the ill effect of gambling. And in fact, it is evil. So when he said that, Yudhishthira Maharaj, he told Vidur, he said, my dear uncle, if I go to gamble, then my para will be destroyed. My para means my other world, my spiritual perfection will be destroyed. Because you're breaking the regulative principle of God consciousness. Gambling means it's essence of falsehood. So I can't do that. If I do it, my other world will be destroyed. But if I don't go, my iha will be destroyed. My iha means my responsibility here, it will be destroyed. Why? Because I've taken a vow of always following my superiors. I'll follow my uncle. Because if I don't follow my uncle, there will be conflict, there will be war, there will be difficulties, I will fight. I don't want to have any fights with my other brothers, like Duryodhana and others. I don't want to create any argument. I should not be responsible for creating a fight. That is my vow. So if I don't do that, my responsibility of this world will be broken. But if I go there, my responsibility of other world will be broken. So for a Kanishta, the simple solution is that, forget this world. After all, what is our goal? Our goal is to go back to Godhead. Why should I bother about this world? Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam saranam raja. The verse is there, supporting us. Vidura says very beautifully, I was quite amazed to read this one. He said, my dear Yudhishthira Maharaj, he said, you don't have to break either one of them. He said, you create a harmony. That is called a Sangam. The Sangam means to create a harmony between two conflicting things. Neither giving up your responsibility of this world, at the same time neglecting our responsibility of our spiritual perfection. And that is the beauty of Vedic literature. That is the beauty of Bhagavatam, that is the beauty of Bhagavad Gita, that is the beauty of Chaitanya Charitamrita also. That one need not to be escapist in the name of spiritual perfection. Vidur said, no, there is no need for you to do it. You harmonize. You know, you fulfill. And how you do it, that's a different thing. But you can do it. And only one who can do like this, and therefore Krishna explains in the Gita 18th chapter, that renunciation, because it is difficult, you know, renunciation, renouncing something because it is difficult, is renunciation in the mode of passion. It does not give us fulfillment. It does not give us perfection. Renunciation has to be healthy and benefiting everybody, including a person who is renouncing it. So therefore, this as demon, Dhenuka, you know, he is the personification of gross discrimination. He can discriminate between, you know, black and white, you know, based upon colors. He can discriminate between, you know, born Brahmana and born Shudra. He can do that. But in Kali Yuga, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also explained very beautifully. He said, how do we implement Varnashram? He said, you cannot judge people based upon their birth. It is there in the scripture. So in the name of avoiding it, what do? In the modern world, still it continues. In fact, Hitler, you know, we see how much the Western concept, especially the European concept, wherein, you know, wherein our Vedic people also are trying to implement the Western concept in India. What is that? That they have the science. They have the power of discrimination. They have the logic. But can you imagine in 1945, 1915, when European world was in its peak of success, that was the time there was such a powerful racial discrimination. If you study the history of Hitler, and how the entire country was swayed by this concept of that ours is the superior race. It's very amazing that ours is the superior race, and therefore only we have to survive. And to survive ourselves, what they did was wipe out 66 million Jews. And then others, gypsies, and then handicapped people, invalid people. You know, even when a German would marry with a gypsy, that was considered as a contamination, and both were wiped out. The man, the woman, and their offspring also. And you should read the last concluding words of those people who were convicted for doing all this thing. They say, we have no regrets. We have absolutely no regret. And where did he picked it up from Darwin's theory only. One way he picked it up was from Darwin's theory only. You know, survival of the fittest. He took it from there. It is explained. And then he created such a holocaust. Millions of people were killed. Why? Because that such a gross discrimination, and anything which is less than superior cannot survive. When this concept comes, that becomes very destructive. Like I was quoting in one lecture, when a king takes a vow, like Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he took a vow, what is the vow? He took a vow. He said, I will take care of my citizen just like the flowers in the garland. In a flower, in the garland, there are varieties of flowers. And if you only focus on one kind of flower, this is the best flower, therefore it will get prominence and rest of the flowers will not get. Then what do you do? Other flowers are wiped out. he says one should take care of the citizen just like a garland in a flower, where there is a variety of flowers. He said not like burning of a wood, like a charcoal. What does charcoal create? Charcoal creates no variety. Everything is powdered to dust. Everything is made into, you know, ash. He said that is not the way one should take care. One should not try to create a classless society, one class society. And Prabhupada challenges that. It is not possible to create a classless society. Variety will continue to remain. Why? Because that is nature. Nature is created like that. While retaining the variety, one should be able to understand the essence within different varieties. Now, this is very beautiful. That one may be born this or that, one may be doing a lower job, one may be doing higher job, one may be doing this job, one may be doing that job. For the sake of job, one may create discrimination. You know, when you are in the operation theater, and if you are not a doctor, and if you want to go and see the surgery, you will not be allowed. Why? Because hygiene principle. Oh, you cannot come. That doesn't mean that the doctor is becoming casteist. One can blame the doctor. Hey, this doctor didn't allow me there to come inside. You know, he's playing caste politics. No, that has to be done. But this doctor carries this same principle everywhere. When I am a doctor, therefore you stay away. That becomes caste consciousness. And that's what happened with our Vedic tradition, unfortunately. There is a place for playing the card of purity and impurity. When it is played upon the very living entity, just because you are born, that means your blood is dirty. You know? No, it is not like that. Therefore, while maintaining the difference, one can learn to find the essence. Then one is called as Saranga Eva Sarabhuk, which was the appreciation given to Parikshit Maharaj. And that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is talking about. And therefore we see, essentially that's what Prabhupada did. He was very discriminative, in one sense, in regards to philosophy. But that discrimination is not based upon, you know, being harsh to others. It was based upon philosophical dialogue. Very interesting. When a philosophy is there, you have to create a discrimination. But not in regards to human relationship. He would argue, he would debate, like he debated with Mishraji in New York. He was a Mayavadi. He talked about his Mayavad philosophy. But when it came to human relationship, when Mishraji was sick, he was able to cook for him. He cooked prasad. Only someone who can do like this, you know, only one who can do like this, he can discriminate philosophically, but at the same time see the essence of that same spirit of being servant of God and serve him on a physical level. He went to meet another great philosopher who was a hardcore Mayavadi. When he came out, he was sympathizing with him. And this is what, unfortunately, you know, many people cannot do. Either they want to create homogeneous oneness. Sab log ek hai. Everybody is one. No problem. You know, there is nothing happened. Forget the history. You know, we should all live together. It is not possible. One should always remember the history, because the present and the future is built upon the past history only. Otherwise, history will repeat again. No, history will repeat again. So therefore, when we understand, when we create right discrimination, where the discrimination is required, and we create a right sameness or oneness or essence, this balancing factor is what Kaviraj Goswami calls is the greatest gift which is given to a devotee. The story is there of Govinda, who was serving Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He knew where to discriminate and where not to discriminate. When Lord Chaitanya was tired after dancing, after feeding him prasad, Mahaprabhu slept right in the middle, you know, where you could not go inside. And his servant wanted to massage. He said, Mahaprabhu, I want to massage you. Mahaprabhu said, I'm so tired, I cannot. Lord Chaitanya's both feet were inside and the leg was outside. And for Govinda to massage Mahaprabhu's feet, he had to go in. But he was not able to go in unless he crosses over the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, I need to massage. He said, I can't. He said, I'm so tired. Do whatever you want to do. No. So one was very rigid in his following. Wow, I never cross. And that too, Mahaprabhu, how can I cross? I'm not going to cross. Because that will be such an apradh. At the same time, anyway, I'm going to serve, you cross. Not so grossly. So what he did was, he covered Mahaprabhu with another cloth. And with extreme carefulness, he crossed on the other side. And he started massaging. And after some time, when Lord Chaitanya got up, he asked Govinda, you're still here? Why you didn't go to take prasad? And he said, no, I was massaging. No, he said, you know, I couldn't go because I cannot cross. He said, I cannot cross. Lord Chaitanya said, but you crossed inside. To come inside, you cross. You could have crossed to come outside also. Now, Govinda does not give the answer. There is another, you know, he answered the first one. He said, I was inside, therefore I couldn't go out. And Mahaprabhu said, no, you could have crossed. Just the way you crossed inside, you could have crossed to go outside also. So he did not answer. Within his mind he answered. He said, how can I, for my own sense gratification, think of crossing your body? He did not give this answer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why? Because that will give great appreciation. Wow, what an amazing attitude he has. He didn't want to be appreciated by Mahaprabhu also, to expose his heart, this conviction, this consciousness. He didn't share it. Why? Because that will simply give unnecessary praise from Mahaprabhu that my devotee is thinking like this. He just kept quiet. And nobody told him. It was very spontaneous. If you read that pastime, it's a very, very beautiful pastime. And Kaviraj Goswami writes there that how one can understand the essence of, you know, what right behavior is. Therefore, Prabhupada explains that right behavior comes for someone who's in constantly touch with Krishna, tesham satat yuktanam, not mechanistically. What is it? It is about how do I render service? How do I be helpful to others in regards to offering Krishna consciousness? In this way, one who is always in remembrance with Krishna, for him comes the right, you know, wisdom to behave, which is fruitful to everybody. You cannot imitate somebody else's behavior. Oh, this is what he behaved, therefore I will also behave. That way I'll be very pleasing to Krishna. Like that snake charmer did when Haridas Thakur, you know, he was dancing. And his another Brahmana, you know, he saw the snake charmer appreciating Haridas Thakur. And he tried to do the same thing. What he got was only beating from that snake charmer. So therefore, you know, when we understand this, when we practice in this way, we don't become textual in our implementation of Krishna conscious principle, but in fact become contextual. And to be a contextual is not very easy. Because in the name of being contextual, you could be compromising with the principle of Krishna consciousness also. So therefore, to be contextual in understanding, not to be textual, is not another extreme. It's an art of balancing. And that art of balancing comes from the heart, which is connected with Guru and Krishna, sincerely, desperately wanting to know the essence of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, our fate will be like Dhenukasura only. You know, having no power of any kind of discrimination. He has no discrimination, whether it is Krishna or another ass like him only. No? Very, very unfortunate situation. But one who can understand is like Krishna and Krishna's friends and practice their Krishna consciousness, then they create a good example to this world, and such devotees, while remaining a lasting example to this world, that you perfection in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Jai Shri Granthara Bhagavatam, we have? Today they are taking now. Millions have already taken. Started early morning.
We experience self-realization. So can you just elaborate more on it?
That means self-real. I am not talking technical here. You know, self-realization means one gets purified. One is supposed to achieve liberation. One is freed from bodily concept of life. And all our sins, all our piety is all destroyed. And you are supposed to achieve liberation after quitting this material body. But you see, you know, when people take bath, you know, different people do different things. People take bath and they're so cold, then they come out and they smoke cigarette. Or people eat tobacco also. Maybe they are doing gross, you know, they are making this gross mistake, and we practicing devotees may be doing more subtle mistakes. We may say, oh, they are smoking cigarette, oh, tobacco khata hai, and we may be doing something else also. We may eat Cadbury chocolate in the name of GB says, agreed for it. It's more dangerous. No, they know, actually, I can't give it up. And we have justification, good justification. So what is the difference then? Whether you smoke cigarette or you justify eating something in the name of GBC, in the name of Guru and Krishna. It may not be breaking the four regs, but still. So sometime, when we use scriptures for mistake, it is more dangerous than gross mistakes. At least I believe like that. You know, one may eat meat, knowing very well, I'm fallen. I'm eating meat. So one may say, you to mass bhi kha raha hai. But in the name of Krishna, you know, I may justify something nonsense. Thinking, you know, Krishna is there. He will take care. After all, he has taken contract of delivering me. Because he says in the Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya, Mamekam Sharanam Raja. Don't cry, Arjun. I'm there for you. No, that doesn't mean that Arjuna became irresponsible in his behavior, since now Krishna has taken. That is the point. The point is that as we judge others, are wo tobacco kha raha hai, wo cigarette phook raha hai, wo mask kha raha hai, wo sharab pee raha hai, I may be doing something else also. No, at least he is not doing in the name of God. Neither is conscious. Most people are not conscious. They are just taking bath because their grandfather used to take bath, and it is a fun also. Kumbh Mela is a great fun. And it is a spiritual supermarket of different varieties of sadhus. I went for that only to see. Last time to see. I was not interested in taking bath. Because Prabhupada also said, you know, we are not interested in taking bath. It's a fun place. Right. To see millions of people taking bath. Millions of people are different varieties of sadhus. Somebody is shaven-headed. Somebody is never shaven only for rest of their life having long nail, long hair, jata, you know, somebody is standing 24 hours, 36 hours, so many hours on one leg, imitating Hiranyakashipu, you know, but they are not Hiranyakashipus. So it's a variety of things are happening. And if you ask most people, they don't have the concept of I've come here to purify myself from sin. Their number is very less. Most number don't know. They say, "Arey, kar rahe. Hum log Hindu hai, humko karna chahiye." And some people are doing for vote banks also. They have nothing to do with Ganga Snan. They are going there to take bath also. No, they have a different reason only to take bath. So therefore, the whole understanding is that for those people who understand and misbehave by using this, that is condemned. In the sixth canto, Bhagavatam, Prabhupada explains. Now, people don't have this understanding only. I'm taking here bath to free from all my sinful activities. Most people are having no chance to even study, understand what is the purpose of this bath. Ask anyone from any religion. They don't have very clear understanding why they do it, what they do it. But unfortunately or fortunately, you know, we have the understanding. So many lectures. There is a Bhagavatam lecture, then there is afternoon lecture, there is an ISKCON desertory, millions of lectures are there. There is no dearth of listening to lectures. Information, devotees, they can quote any scripture, any Puranas, you know, at the right time also to justify. And then that becomes very dangerous. Now, Prabhupada said, buy samosa, then samosa is purified. You know, when we are eating samosas on the railway station, they quote Prabhupada also. When you, and there is a verse also, he said, when you buy something, then there is no karma. Right? That verse is there. Prabhupada quoted this verse. So, maybe true, but where I am using, for what am I using, what is my consciousness to use that verse? That is important. So therefore, you know, bhakti is all about, ultimately it's not about the mechanistic process. Otherwise, why would Kaviraj Goswami said, even if somebody chants Hare Krishna Mahamantra, millions of the holy name, for millions of years he will not achieve Krishna Prem. Why would he say like that? If the holy name is the highest, however you chant, wherever you chant, it doesn't matter. He said, no, one will not achieve Krishna Prem. In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, some priest would chant Hare Krishna and he became a ghost and Bhaktivinoda Thakur delivered him. So there is a difference between Hare Krishna mantra also. Amne sudha Hare Krishna mantra same hai. Bhaktivinoda Thakur Hare Krishna mantra is different than a priest chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Same words. No, yes, there is a difference. No, there is a difference and there is no difference also. So this priest became a ghost by chanting Hare Krishna and this ghost was delivered by another Hare Krishna mantra chanted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So there is a difference and there is no difference. Therefore it is called Achinta Bhedabhed philosophy. Hare Krishna. You have question, comments? Yes, last.
A beautiful lecture, Govind Prabhu. After many days I'm hearing, really. My question is, you said no, Krishna sent back the Brahmin Patnis. So I read Narayana, whatever it is. There Krishna calls the gopis for Ras Leela and he says, why have you come? If you have come to take flowers for your puja, they are grown at your backyard and all that. Why, he tells them to go back and they feel very hurt. Why he tells them when he invites them for Ras does?
Therefore, you know, we were discussing this. Krishna entertained the gopis, but he sent back the Brahman Patnis. So I'm saying we should understand we are like the Brahman Patnis. We are told, okay, go back and do your job in the home also. No, we are not like gopis. Gopis are very private friends of Krishna. If we try to become gopis, then we create disturbance. Right? So Krishna deals with different people differently. It's not one style. You know, with Arjuna he dealt differently, with Uddhava he would deal differently. Therefore it is explained that Krishna gives his mercy to devotees differently. It is not, he has got millions of ways to interact with devotees. Right, with gopis Krishna made them stay. For how long? Brahmaji is? One night, which is like millions of years. Can you imagine? And his Brahman Patnis, khana khayar bhej diya, jao abhi. He took their food and he said, you go back. You know, your husbands will not do anything to you. So can they say, Dara, come on, Krishna, you are doing injustice to us. Your approach should be very socialistic, communistic. Sabko samaan hona chahiye. No, he didn't do like that. With another devotee, you know, he took away everything to another devotee, he gave away everything. You can't challenge Krishna. No, why you did like this? Whatever he does, and however he does, we should learn what is the lesson for me. Does the gopi's lesson, should I practice? Or should I practice the Brahman Patni's lesson? Of course we practice gopi's lesson also, but in a different way. What is applicable to us? What is applicable to us for sadhaka is the principle of not being irresponsible. One cannot achieve Krishna consciousness by avoiding responsibility. Not by, you know, becoming Babaji. Not by becoming, you know, people we see sometime, they give up, they move to holy places. You know, we are settling in holy places. For what? Empty mind is devil's workshop, even in the holy place also. Young people renouncing, you know, and chanting Hare Krishna throughout the day is not recommended by Prabhupada. They are not going to chant. Because the body is young, the mind is always young, the body is young, the mind is young, and you have nothing else to do, then what happens? And it is, we see what Prabhupada gave the concept of, you know, it was very karma yoga based bhakti, action based bhakti. Not that you just quit everything and go and stay in holy place. Especially for young people, it is not recommended. One can practice Krishna consciousness, one can preach Krishna consciousness by being in the world and interacting with people and giving them also Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you know, world, this material world is, you know, who will not create trouble? Everybody create troubles. You are president, temple president, you know. For some people, even people feel even gurus are troubling us. So if you see from a trouble perspective, there is trouble everywhere. You have to run from everybody. You have to run from everyone and then try to stay in Himalayas. No, you can't go to Himalayas also. There are restaurants in the Himalayas also. No? If you avoid just because there is trouble, if you go to a holy place, you know, in Vrindavan also, if you want to hire a small room also nowadays, you have to make money for that. Vrindavan land property, you know, is exuberant. No Akinchana can stay there. You know, Vrindavan is meant for Akinchanas, but only those who have a lot of kinchan, lot of money, they can go and stay there. So it is no more Vrindavan. It's a South Bombay. What is Vrindavan? Vrindavan means wherever you are freed from this anxiety. You want to buy vegetable, very costly. You know, you want to buy this, very costly. Vrindavan is not meant for where you have to be in anxiety that I have to buy. When Goswamis went to Vrindavan, they didn't carry, you know, deposit. Tektva turnam ashesha mandalapati. They gave up everything and every day different tree. They didn't think, okay, this tree is better. You know, no snakes, no scorpions, no insects. They were changing tree after tree, caves after cave, did not hold one place. You know, as Maharaj was mentioning, Radha Maharaj said, Vrindavan is meant for those people who are like Goswamis. Others go and visit 2 or 3 days max, or when you go to yatra for few days. And we see, you know, our conditioning is so strong. I need a good room, AC, working AC. AC should not make a sound also. It should not drip also. We should realize, you know, we are not fit to stay there more than 3 days. Come back to your place and try to experience Vrindavan in wherever you are, wherever you are told to stay, wherever your karma had put you there. Or unless your guru, you know, your authorities go and tell you, okay, you go and serve there. Otherwise, it's not, we are not in Vrindavan. We are not in temple. So being responsible to our duty, which is troublesome, no doubt, very difficult. We don't want to go back to Godhead because the trouble here. Because in Golok there is more trouble, because it's all about selfless service only. There is nothing about yourself in spiritual world. There is no selfishness in spiritual world. So somebody is so deeply, you know, rooted in only thinking about himself, whether it is spiritual perfection or material perfection, only thinking from his perspective, cannot go to the spiritual world. Because spiritual world is the concept of, it's a reality, no doubt. It's a concept of, I am doing everything for Krishna and Krishna's devotee. But my Krishna consciousness, everybody, including Krishna, Krishna's devotee, should do for me only. Guru is there to solve my problem. You know, my marriage problem, my divorce problem, my problem with conflict, What is he has taken? I have taken initiation from my spiritual master so that he has to solve all my problems. Whenever I ask from appointment to him, he has to give me. So if that is what we have accepted Guru for, then we should go to a psychiatrist, a psychologist. That is his job. It is not Guru's job. Guru's job is to enlighten us spiritually. But still, you know, they are very kind and compassionate. They try to take that role also. But we cannot demand. So whether materially or spiritually, when we become selfish, then spiritual life becomes very burdensome. It loses its flavor and taste. And whenever we see that selflessness, wherever we see, whether it is direct Krishna consciousness involved or not, when we see that, we should see Krishna there. And that's what Krishna explains in the Gita. Wherever you say that aspect of selflessness, you know, and therefore bhakti is a yajna. Fourth chapter Krishna explains. And what is that yajna? Yajna is not putting lots of ghee, lots of grain, lots of, you know, best quality of ghee, best quality of grains into the fire. That is not yajna. Yajna is, you know, Bharata Bhumite Hulu Manusha Janma Sartaka Kari Paropakar. And one has taken birth in this land of India or anywhere else, you know, he has to do something good for others by enlightening them in Krishna consciousness, you know, facilitating them in Krishna consciousness. That means that missionary spirit has to be there in everybody's heart. It is not only meant for those who have taken to the path of renunciation. It meant for everybody. Some may do it 100%, but at least one should do 5%. What does it mean? That means there is some burdensome, some trouble, some headache. Otherwise, running away, you know, all this 64 rounds, 128 rounds, 192 rounds, it is meant for Haridas Thakur. Not for those who are young people, you know, they should be doing. If it is spontaneous, you know, it's ordered by their guru and they have a spontaneous attraction for these activities, that is one thing. But creating an artificial attraction, you know, forcing, then they simply become a bad example to the society. And because of them, many will not take to Krishna consciousness. Right? I may go back to Godhead, but if I'm a bad example to others, Krishna may take me to back to Godhead. But because of me, 20 are becoming atheistic. That is not a good example. We'll stop here. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bol.